more of Lake Effect Now, I'm Joy Powers. For our family recipe series, contributing producer Lucian Jung visits the kitchens of local residents as they prepare special family dishes they remember from childhood. And we should note, this was recorded before Governor Evers' stay-at-home order. This month, Elena Bizabaros shares her recipe for tortilla de patatas, also known as a Spanish omelet. This is a savory cake of whipped eggs mixed with fried potatoes and onions and cooked on the stovetop until golden brown. It's a simple recipe, but the preparation is not without drama. Flipping the thick and heavy omelet from the hot pan requires conviction and a bit of daring, too. But with patience, skill, and a touch of bravery, you can master this recipe. Tortilla de patatas is found on dinner tables and tapas bars throughout Spain, and the smell of olive oil-infused potatoes and sweet onions always transports Bizabaros back to the little town where she grew up.
I was born in a beautiful place in the northern part called San Sebastian. San Sebastian, it belongs to the Basque country.
What is unique about Basque culture that makes it different from Spain?
Basque people have such a profound identity, let's say, because a Basque is one of the oldest languages in the world. Of course, the culture, the music, the philosophy, so it's totally different than Spanish.
So in your household, you spoke Basque?
Well, I grew up under the dictatorship under Franco, right? Spain had a civil war between 1936 and 1939. So after that, Franco, a general, took over the country, and we had a dictatorship until 1975 when he died. So in some houses, they would speak it. In some houses, they wouldn't because it was forbidden. And you would go to jail if you spoke it.
You would go to jail if you spoke Basque.
Yeah, many people went if they heard them speaking it. So the main language, it was Spanish. You couldn't speak anything else in any part of the country.
What did it mean to you to live under a dictatorship? Because you were born into one. When did you have a sense of what that meant?
Well, when you grow up, you don't realize where you are. Later, you analyze how you lived. And I have to admit that, I mean, my childhood was extremely happy because I lived in such a small town, the country. So when you are more like you get to your 12 to 18, something like that, that was the time of the end of the dictatorship at the beginning of the democracy, where although it was a peaceful transition, but there's no peaceful transition going from a dictatorship into a democracy ever. And my memories from high school, for example, going to San Sebastian, because there was no high school in my small town, many times there were demonstrations all over against the dictatorship. It was just buses all in fire, so I had to walk through a highway to go to my house. So that's...
And this was when you were in high school.
Yes, when I was in high school, my memories from high school, it was all demonstrations, all fire, all fighting. I mean, I grew up in, you have no idea. It was very, very political and very dangerous sometimes.
On top of the political situation, I mean, you're a teenager. So...
It doesn't even matter. You have to take care of your own self to be safe in a really dangerous situation. So... You don't think about what teenagers usually think, but it was very, I can tell you, very scary. I mean, nobody could, you couldn't leave your house, you didn't know.
Now, where did you go to university?
I went to the University of Salamanca. It's one of the oldest universities in the world. It goes back to the Middle Ages.
And where is that located?
Salamanca is west of Madrid. 2 hours west going from Madrid. Madrid is right in the middle of Spain, so you go towards your left, trying to go towards Portugal, and right in the middle of the way is Salamanca. It has a cathedral that is very old, and this big palace is called El Palacio de Anaya, where my classes were, and I truly believe that there's so much knowledge that the knowledge just fell into your head as you were in the classrooms, because it's a beautiful palace.
And was that your first time away from home?
Well, the first time, I mean, when I was 16, I did some exchange in France, because that's my second language. As we are in the Basque country, we are next to France. Part of the southern part of France is part of the Basque country. So many times when we go to the, we say, on va de l'autre côté du Pays Basque. We go to the other side of the Basque country to buy cheese, or to le camembert, le brie. Oh. For us, France is sometimes we say it's closer than Spain because of the Basque country in France. So,
and particularly with food, it sounds like there's a lot of French influence.
No. Let's say that just the opposite. I'll say Basque food have influence French and Spanish cuisine, because we are older than both of them together.
I see. Okay. So what is characteristic of Basque cuisine?
Of course, we are in the sea, right? So most of the main dishes, I remember squid in its ink, in black ink, merluza en salsa verde, hake in green sauce is another one that is, when I go to the Basque country, I have to have my hake. Fresh anchovies. My mother always asks me, what would you like to eat when you come? And I always say the same thing, fried fresh anchovies with fried eggs.
Oh, and that's what you loved eating growing up.
Oh, God. It just brings me back to my childhood and too, because it's so good.
Now, is that what you're making today?
No, I'm so sorry. Here we cannot really find good fish.
So now, the recipe you're about to make is something that you grew up with? It's something that your mother made for you? Or?
Right. I mean, even today, I call my mother. She's going to be 91 in a couple of weeks. And I said, Mom, when did we eat Spanish omelette? I want to make sure that I say it right. And she's like, every single night. It was the protein that I could give to four children. We got the eggs with our potatoes.
Now, what's the name of this dish in Basque?
I mean, usually we just call it tortilla de patatas. It's an omelette, but then the traditional is with potatoes. You'll find it in every single counter, in every bar, as a tapa. And you ask any family, and they cook it all the time. But there's one thing that I have to say. You have to be patient. And it shows the kind of the Spanish way of being. We take time to do things. And when you go to Spain, time moves in a totally different way. Here, everybody's all the time running. And sometimes you don't know what you run for. In Spain, people can walk. So a philosophy of life is totally at a different speed. And I think the Spanish omelette shows you that in the method. You have to have patience and take the time to do it and wait until the potatoes are really done. Be patient.
The idea of, essentially, this is fried potatoes. Already, you've got me. I mean, it sounds delicious.
Of course, they have to be fried very well and with the best olive oil that you can find. That's the main really secret. When you see the recipe, 1 liter of, I mean, it's like all that oil.
1 liter of oil, olive oil.
Olive oil, but then you strain it and you can use it later. My mom always had like a container, a metal container, where after doing the Spanish omelette, all the oil goes there. And that oil is going to be used for frying eggs the next day or cooking something else.
Well, I'm excited about trying this dish because oftentimes when I think about eggs, they're fried in butter.
Right, I know. And when you grow up in Spain, the butter is not existent ever. Everything is done with olive oil. So you have to understand that. And small pieces.
You're cutting the potato into kind of quarter-inch little cubes. So do you remember your mom at the counter cutting up potatoes like this?
All the time. We used to spend hours upon hours peeling. And me too, because being the only girl, you know, at one point I had to fight for my own rights. I was the only one who was helping until I said no more. I had to make my brothers to start doing some chores. But it took some fighting and some punishments and all of that. Even up to today, I'm the rebel of the family.
Well, it seems like the period in history that you were born in, I mean, how could you not have grown up to be the rebel?
Well, no, but some other people are not. They have three brothers and they are pretty mellow. They just follow the rule. I don't follow any rule. My best way of explaining it is I tell my children, if the masses are going one way, you turn back and go the other way. So that's my way.
So now you're just beating up about 6 eggs.
Right. So, and you have to beat them to the point that you see foam. So that's one of the secrets also. Sometimes you use, oh, it's too much work. It's enough. No. You really need to go on and on.
So beat these eggs until they're nice and foamy.
And you always do it with a fork. You don't do it with those strange things. I don't know how you call them. The whisk. You see, I really like it. Very, very foamy. Actually, with my children, it's like, Mom, I'm tired. No, you keep going. Just a little more. You need to see more foam. So if you talk to them, they remember that forever. It's like, I'm beating the eggs for the Spanish omelette. But yeah, this is almost done.
You've drained the olive oil out of the frying pan and just left a little bit on the bottom, and you're mixing up the potatoes and the onions and the eggs.
Right, you just kind of with your fork smash the potatoes into the eggs, because all of that is what you are going to pour into the pan. I just put the pan at, again, high, and when it's really high, this is a whole fast process, so you just pour it into the pan. Keep moving the frying pan so to make sure that nothing sticks in the bottom, but you want like a thick and a hard crust.
Oh, so you want a crust on the bottom.
Right. So now the magic comes. You put your plate, a bigger plate, and you kind of have to go 1, 2, and just turn it over.
Put a plate on top of the pan and you flipped it over.
And then you just go back again, because we are going to do the same process a few times.
It just smells so savory.
Oh, I love it. The smell of the Spanish omelette.
So now you've made this the traditional way with just the potatoes and the onion. Do you ever experiment and start adding chorizo or anything like that? Or do you like to have it just like this?
Listen, a family recipe is in your heart, and it brings you memories that nothing can do. So if you change it, it won't bring you the same memories. It has to be the original, the one that my mom made over and over and over, year after year. I mean, so I grew up with it, and I just love it.
I can't wait to taste this.
Well, I have a surprise for you. We are going to eat it with a nice glass of champagne. Would you like to have that?
Champagne?
Yes, usually Saturdays is my mimosa day. So usually I have my mimosa with some chorizo, some cheese, but today is Spanish omelette, even better.
Oh, goodness. Absolutely. Okay, so the omelette looks absolutely delicious, and you've got these mimosas going, and
I brought my son, a 15-year-old, that has eaten his Spanish omelette since he was a baby.
Oh, really? So you're the expert on Spanish omelettes.
A little bit.
His name is Xavier, which is a Basque name. And he's 15 years old. He can tell you just a little bit his experiences in our family with the Spanish omelette.
So this is something that your mom makes all the time?
Oh, yeah. Spanish omelette I've been eating for a very long time.
So how would you describe the flavor?
I really like the potatoes with the onion. It gives it a good sweetness. I mean, I've also eaten this for a long time, and like this is kind of more American spin. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll have like ketchup with it as well.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like it, but that's the American way of eating a Spanish omelette. There's no question about that.
Okay, well, I can't wait to taste this here. It's so savory. I think it's about the creaminess of the potato and the creaminess of the egg. It's really dense.
Right, that's what you need to create that kind of a cake that puts together the potatoes and the onion and the eggs, and it's all like simple ingredients that sometimes we forget about, that they are so wonderful.
Lucian Jung produces our family recipe series. He visited Elena Bizabatos to learn about the Spanish omelet this month before Governor Evers made his stay-at-home order. You can explore the entire series at wuwm.com.